Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, help for partners after sexual betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
So I've got Amy on the line. Amy, welcome to the show. What's your question?
Well, I have a question about what healthy sexuality looks like when a sex addict is in recovery.
One of the things we know about research and sex addicts is that they don't necessarily want sex with their own wife. And so, to me, that says he's in really good recovery because he does want that with you. He has been 2 years sober. He has been in 3 facilities. And I suspect that's how he's wanting closeness with you.
And that is exactly right. That men who are in good recovery usually fear being sexual with their wives because they don't feel like they can perform. You know, they've trained their brain to like a certain kind of sex. And for a lot of men, they're at that age anyway, that we're at 45. If they're over 45, they just don't have the same capabilities. Now, that's not all men, but that's a lot of men. And then you tie in that they've trained their brain to like pornography, or they've trained their brain to want a certain kind of look, sex, whatever, even though they're untraining it, it's still scary for them too. And so this gets dicey. It really does. And if you're having difficulties understanding it or knowing where to go with it, you know, I would ask you to contact an AppSats counselor, because we will get you to the right place if we're not comfortable talking about sex. I'm not saying that we aren't, but I know a lot of counselors just out there in the real world that they wouldn't touch really talking about sex with a 10-foot pole. Now, we've got a couple of counselors that not only are good at it, but they are trained by the American Association of Sex Educators, Counselors, and Therapists, AFECT. And that organization certifies professionals to be able to do good sex therapy. And that may be your biggest bang for your buck. If you can work with a partner-sensitive, AppSats, AFECT therapist, you're getting two important professionals. So, you know, I know that it's a very sensitive subject, and I want you to believe that it gets really dicey, one, to be able to talk about it, two, to know how you feel about it. I mean, even though sex addiction really isn't about sex, that's how it shows up, and that's how it feels, and that's why people are so wounded. Absolutely understand that. You know, it's always interesting. I book people for the show. And so if you want to come on and talk about your life, your dilemma, your struggle, or your victories, you can always contact me at Carol@carolthecoach.com, and I will book you for this show. This is AppSats, and AppSats is that partner-sensitive organization. I know that I just trained clinicians and coaches all over the world for the last 2 weeks, and it is such an honor because they have such a desire to help you get healthy. Some of us talk about two birds with one stone. Some of us are also certified sex addiction therapists. Wow. That's a wonderful thing, because obviously we understand the dynamics of sex addiction very, very well, and we understand the dynamics of partner trauma. Then some of us are clinicians and coaches, you know, I can do relationship coaching anywhere in the world, but I can't cross state lines and do marital therapy. Now, the truth of the matter is, APSATS believes that if you're just starting out in exploring this whole situation and discovery has just occurred, that you really need 1 to 2 years to heal before you do couples therapy. But you can do something we call early couples recovery work, and that's work with somebody in the APSATS organization that wants to help you heal as a couple and is willing to begin to do the groundwork for that, but not get into the huge dynamics that can be there, that might have been there before any sex addiction, or they could be there and might be there as a result of the sexual addiction. I hope I'm kind of making myself clear. This is, it's just such a privilege and an honor to work with APSATS. And I continue to know how blessed I am that I do, and I know that all of us at APSATS, you, the partner, you're our focus. And I hope that more than anything, you can feel that, hear that, see that, smell that, and touch that when you listen to our podcast. And so, I'm wondering what kind of issues you're facing right now. Many of you know that I already produced Unleashing Your Power, Moving Beyond Partner Betrayal, you know, a book that actually helps take you through what we call at APSATS the three stages of partner betrayal, trying to get you to the other side. Be more than happy to do that. And this book actually gives you amazing opportunities to get to know yourself. So before we have our guest on, who is a love and sex expert, she's actually a personal life coach, and she does love, and she does relationship coaching and counseling. Her name is Rihanna Milne, and she is a master's level certified global life and love trauma recovery coach. How about that? And she's a certified clinical trauma and addictions professional. So that's very cool. And she's a mindfulness coach. You know, tomorrow I'm starting a big mindfulness training for 3 days because that's supposed to be so good for an addict's brain and also for a partner's brain. So she's written a couple of books. She's going to talk about having some gifts for you today. And she's written two books that I thought sounded very interesting. One is Love Beyond Your Dreams, Break Free from Toxic Relationships to Have the Love You Deserve. And then the other is Live Beyond Your Dreams, From Fear and Doubt to Personal Power, Purpose, and Success. So I love the fact that she's going to be talking to us about, because I requested this topic, she's going to be talking about 10 childhood adverse events that can create trauma and show up in our relationships today, right? So she has a lot of wisdom about trauma. You know, I know that when I booked her, I thought, ooh, I hope she understands that we do not see our partners as codependent. And we do, you know, there used to be this model clinically, if you were learning marital therapy. And the model was this. It said, we attract into our life the people who are best going to get us work out our issues with our parents. And so I am not a partner. Well, I'm just an old professional. But I definitely married my mother and my father. My mother didn't cook. She didn't clean. She didn't sew. She didn't drive. But she was a stay-at-home mom. And she really did the best she could with what she knew. And so my father took total care of her. He drove her everywhere. She cooked a little bit, but he would cook. And, you know, neither one of them cleaned. The kids cleaned. Okay, so that's my mother. And my father was somebody who really, really wanted that responsibility. Now, my father was such a kind heart, such a good soul. And he never had a bad word to say about anybody. But my mother was assertive. At times, she was difficult. And my husband, remember I said I married my father and my mother. My husband can be rigid like my mother. But he does the best job taking care of me. Would you believe I have never cleaned a toilet bowl in my life? I've never vacuumed. Well, no, that's not true. I've vacuumed my own office and things like that. But he really vacuums the house, and he does it every week. He does. He does the laundry. I cook. But he does all those things because you know what? He says, honey, you don't do it well enough. And I say, honey, you know what? I don't want to spend 45 minutes vacuuming the living room, which really is the great room because we don't have a living room. The truth of the matter is our relationship works really well because he does all that for me and he gives me time to write books. And I love that. But with that, he also is very definitive in how he feels, what he thinks, what he believes, and he can assert himself like nobody's business. And assertiveness is not a bad thing, but in a marriage, if somebody has some rigidity to that assertiveness and they have some compulsive thinking, you know, you got to know how to work around it. So what I'm really excited about is with Rihanna having the knowledge of trauma, she's not going to think that you married your husband because he was a sex addict. She's not going to believe that you somehow unconsciously knew he was a sex addict and because you didn't get your needs met, this is what happened to you. Because we at APSATS know sex addiction, as well as other forms of addiction, are so they're so well hidden. Addicts are so good at deceit and betrayal. It's not like they want to hurt you, but they have to lie, sex addiction. And so we know, both our guest and our organization, APSATS, that we would never say that you pulled him into your life to work something out. You didn't know what you didn't know. It's way different than how we were taught clinically about marital couples. So that's the good news. And I'm telling you, she's just got a wealth of knowledge. And I was so happy that I was able to get her for today. And so I am just going to tell everybody that this woman has written two amazing books, Love Beyond Your Dreams, Break Free from Toxic Relationships to Have the Love You Deserve, and Live Beyond Your Dreams from Fear and Doubt to Personal Power, Purpose, and Success. And since I've never met her personally, I'm going to have to check and see if I'm saying her name right. Rihanna, welcome to Partner Betrayal Recovery Radio. How are you?
Hi, Carol. Thank you so much for having me. And yes, you said my name right, Rihanna Milne. That was perfect. Hello, everyone. And I really appreciate you asking me to be on today. I had to move some things around, but I'm always one to try and help out. So I'm very glad that I could be here for everyone today.
Well, you are, a licensed mental health counselor, and you're a trauma specialist, And you're a life and love trauma recovery coach, so you are perfect for this show. And I know you gave us a lot of suggestions on what you could talk about, so we're going to have to book you once a month for the rest of your life. But
sure.
I want to know about you and how you got into this business and about the books you wrote, first and foremost.
Okay, let's start with the books. That's a little bit easier. I've actually written 7 books, and I'm writing one now on healing childhood trauma. My 2 books, Made for the Public and my coaching program, are Live and Love Beyond Your Dreams, as you both announced. And I've been writing since my young years. I've always enjoyed writing. As a matter of fact, in high school, I got the Who's Who's for English Writing Award. So I guess I always just had that as a hobby and something I love. The other part is a little bit, as a young girl, I always wanted to be a counselor. I wanted to always help people out. In my 20s, I was very much studying the masters and developed what I call the mindset for success. I needed it for myself to overcome the death of 2 young friends of mine, one at 16, and my college roommate who was murdered by her boyfriend. And spiritually, I kind of took them under my wing. And for Michael, since he was killed by a drunk driver, I became an LCADC, which is Licensed Certified Alcohol and Drug Addictions Counselor. And for Corinne, I started studying love trauma and what causes traumatic and toxic relationships. And it wasn't until my own marriage that I stood up as my own attorney and annulled it. I was very much in love with my husband, and it was uncovered that he had a total secret life. And we were both working in schools, and we were introduced by his school superintendent. He was supposed to be the best man at our wedding, but long story short, he got caught with porn on his computer and was banished from the school. It became a big community scandal, and because we were married, it ruined my life, my business, my reputation. I'm also Reverend Rihanna. I've been doing interfaith marriages since 1997. So you can imagine, as a marriage and family therapist, you know, people would say, well, why didn't you see this? Well, because I don't have time to babysit a man. But there was also nothing relevant. And in my studies is a triple master's, and I was a good student. I graduated with a 4.0 summa cum laude, so I didn't miss anything. But about love trauma and the secret life, which I call a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And the last thing he said to me, he goes, I don't know why I sabotage everything I love. And I said, I don't know why you do either, but I'm going to figure it out. Because there was no doubt the man loved me, but there was so much betrayal I could not trust. So therefore, I did not want to go on with the marriage. And I figured no one else could tell my story. And I wrote up the divorce, the annulment complaint. And the family court judge said, Ms. Milne, in 32 years of being a family court judge, I only granted one annulment. And yours is the second. So it was quite, I didn't realize how tough they were to get. But I was able to prove my case of sociopathy, sex addiction, and fraud, and
right.
Got the annulment.
Wow.
And then I needed to get the techniques to heal. And since I was a therapist, I went to 7 psychotherapist friends of mine. Nobody knew what he had. Childhood trauma was not even talked about. It's not in any of my courses as in psychotherapy to be a clinical therapist. So I took on this research myself because that's what helped me to heal and understand what he had. And those facts are written into Love Beyond Your Dreams. And I had more. So I said, you know, I have to get this message out globally. This is so important for people to know what childhood is and the impact in adults in their life, in their love relationships, and even in business. So that's how I came into this specialty area.
Well, that's through the school of hard knocks, isn't it? And you've done a great job of, you know, turning that around and using that tragedy and making it an opportunity to get healthy and to rebound from that kind of love, and as well as now you're helping other people, which really makes sense. And you know, our listening audience, although we have a lot of clinicians and coaches all over the world that listen, really it's partners. They're trying to make sense of what their husband did, but they're also trying to get back to their own true self. And so
right.
I'm wondering, you know, what I know is that lots and lots of people have been through childhood trauma, and that obviously can create post-traumatic stress or even complex post-traumatic stress. How did you
get and in the DSM.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, there is nothing describing childhood trauma and its impact in the DSM-4, which us therapists use as a diagnostic model. So to see this type of behavior in a man that I loved and really felt I knew, and on the surface we had this amazing, romantic, fun life, and then he had this whole hidden life, what was that? So, and why did he do it? Why was the risk so great? And I started studying the childhood trauma piece and realized for 21 years I've been a psychotherapist, and all the populations I worked with had childhood trauma. The research shows 9 out of 10 people suffer with 1 to 3 of the top 10 traumas I named in 2011 and 12 when I was doing the research. I think it was year 2015 when I discovered the ACE test from Kaiser Permanente, and I was shocked that the things that were on my top 10 list were not on theirs, like bullying or abandonment issues. For addiction, they said if your parents used drugs and alcohol and stopped, I named 12 addictions, and one is sex addiction. Another in this porn addiction. They're separate. So, you know, I just felt that they missed a lot. And my diagnostic tool that I use with my own clients is my own childhood trauma checklist. And the research shows, you know, that most people have at least 1 to 3 on that list.
And so obviously you have done a lot of studying about childhood trauma, in part because it wasn't identified or acknowledged in the DSM. I'm not sure if the new DSM does acknowledge childhood trauma. Do you know that?
I don't know. I haven't done psychotherapy since 2017 in a diagnostic way. I'm a global coach, and the coaching model is more education and very solution-focused. I have a 150-page notebook based on my research. So it is definitely more educational and more interactive with the goal to heal the trauma and create that life you really desire and to have the love you deserve and heal from whatever you've gone through. So I'm kind of doing my own coaching thing right now.
I love that.
So I don't know
if it's
in there.
Also really, you're really trying to compile information to have some sort of empirical evidence-based data, because one of the things you absolutely know and you talk about is that childhood trauma can hold one back from having a life and love relationship they dream of. Now, in knowing that most of your listening audience is still trying to rebound from the addiction that their husband had, and in most of their cases, their husband is really working on good recovery. This is the toughest addiction to beat, sex addiction.
That's right.
But
yes.
For a lot of our partners, their husbands really are trying. And so how might a partner's childhood trauma be holding them back from having that life and love relationship that they really want?
This is really key in healing your past unconscious childhood trauma to healing any addictions. And as an addiction specialist, I even taught at the college level. And I went in and said, how many people are teaching childhood trauma recovery work in their rehab centers? And I must have had 65 students from 18 to 65, high school grads to doctorate level, and 2 people raised their hands. And I said, this is why relapse is so high, because we're putting Band-Aids on things and not getting to the root of the issue. So I'm really impassioned about learning what the top 10 traumas are in each of my people, whether it's a single or a couple, I work with both. Whether they're straight or LGBTQ, I work with all populations from 16 to 73. So if I have a couple in front of me, I must know partner A and partner B's individual childhood traumas. We have to work on healing them and then open up a brand new way of communicating when someone feels emotionally triggered. So if you'd like, Carol, for the listeners, I'll go into what the top 10 traumas are and then how they play out in love relationships, because that might make more sense in how this comes together. Is that good for you?
That is absolutely great, because we would love to hear about those top 10 traumas that you might experience in childhood that impact most adults later in life, love, and even in their career. So go on. Let's hear about these traumas.
Okay. Yes. And just a little bit of background information. First of all, this is not about blaming or shaming your parents at this point in your life. We're just trying to look at this as facts. Did you remember encountering this or not? You may listen and not think of it, and then 2 days later think, oh, my God, yes, that did happen. So we're looking at it as facts, so, and it's not about blaming them or feeling ashamed or guilty within yourself. The first thing is recognizing it, because you can't change what you don't understand. So I remember being at that point of, I don't know what I don't know. Like, I didn't know, why am I attracting someone like this into my life? Why did this happen? Why does he keep sabotaging himself? And that's what this helps to uncover. So the first one is, if your parents or caretaker, now again, you're an innocent little child, so this is just happening around you or to you as you were growing up. So the first one is, if your parent had any addiction. So the ones that I name are drugs, alcohol, sex, meaning you knew your parent was cheating, it was a secret, porn addiction, gambling, hoarding, spending, eating, gaming, TV watching, workaholism, and I've added to that list social media addiction. So any of those addictions while you were a child, happening around you or within the family. Second is verbal messages or abuse. So you could have watched your parents yelling and screaming at each other. They could have been yelling at you. They could have given you messages like, change that. You look fat in that outfit. Or, you know, I remember when I got, Mom, I did my best time in swimming. She goes, well, it's still not as good as so-and-so. You know, you never hear a compliment. You never hear a good job, kiddo, or I'm proud of you, or whatever. So it is those types of messages, or you don't hear the words, I love you. Those are all under verbal, and verbals are quite profound in causing addictions. Okay, third is any emotional abuse or neglect. Fourth is any physical abuse or beatings, rape or molestation, and those could have happened inside or outside of the home. The next one was missing completely on the Kaiser test in the beginning. The CDC did add this later, which was abandonment. This is huge. And I identify two types of abandonment, fault and no fault abandonment. So no fault abandonment would be if a parent happened to die early, or a parent had to go off to war, or a parent travels a lot and that's how they support their family, but they're not home and they don't know when you're going to be home. And when I read that, I'm thinking, oh my God, I remember as a child asking my mom, when's daddy coming home? She goes, well, I don't know where he is. And that was very disturbing for me, because I'm like, is my dad okay? And, you know, that we later find out he was FBI and CIA, and he couldn't tell us where he was and when he was coming home. And working with students in the schools, I worked with every grade level, kindergarten through college. And if their parents were off to war, they were often emotionally just checked out. They couldn't focus. They were often identified as ADHD kids if they came from traumatic homes. So I saw a lot of these signs in the kids around abandonment. A fault abandonment is if you were never involved in your child's life, if you were involved up to the point where the couple divorced or broke up, and you're rarely involved, or you're inconsistent, or you break your promises about showing up, or even if you're there physically, but you're emotionally detached. You don't show up and support them at their sporting events or their arts events. So it's like an emotional abandonment. So that one is pretty big. The next one is if you're part of the foster care system, you were adopted or you had to go live with other people because your parents couldn't take care of you in their home. Even if they farmed you out to grandparents or aunts and uncles, there's still an abandonment there. I worked with foster care kids in a hospital system, the child and adolescent ward, ages 5 to 19. These are the stories of the kids of trauma that I heard over and over and over again. And Kaiser missed that. They didn't put kids of foster care system. It's huge. Next one is number 7, which I call personal trauma. To me, this one is huge. Most people can identify with this one. This is if you ever felt different or you didn't fit in. So that's if you were bullied, if you were an overweight child or skinny and gawky, you might have been called the nerd. If you had a medical condition like asthma and you couldn't be part of the cool kids or on the sport teams. Just anything where you felt different. If you were coming out as LGBTQ and people didn't accept you or they teased you because you were different, or you were from a different race or culture. In a primarily Caucasian school, you might have been the only African-American student. Anything like that where you just felt so different and not a part of things, or you were teased because they perceived you as different. That's a big one. Number 8 is sibling trauma. This could be that your sibling bullied you. They might have been born with a medical issue, which commanded more of mom's and dad's time, and you didn't have as much time with your parents, feeling abandoned. Or most often you perceive them to be the golden child, the favored one. So they could have been the star athlete, more handsome, more beautiful, the better student. For some reason, you felt your parents loved them more. Now, trauma number 9, like I said, there are more than 10 traumas, but I just kept my list simple. I had to bring one down from the later list because us baby boomers did not grow up a lot with community trauma. But I had to put it into number 9 because community trauma is something every one of us is experiencing today around the world, and that is being a part of the COVID pandemic. So people say, I didn't have trauma. Everyone has trauma. Every young person is experiencing COVID trauma today. They're worried if their parents are going to die if they go to work. They're listening to the news, how many people are dying. This is a very frightful, negative situation that's been going on for over a year. They can't play with their friends. If they do, they're afraid they might get sick. They can't go to school. So community trauma is big. This is also our acts of nature, Mother Nature, like floods, fires, hurricanes, mudslides, anything that impacts whole communities. It's also our school shootings or our mass shootings. So community trauma has really picked up events like 9/11, events like storming our Capitol building. These are very impactful events within our community. So the other part of 9 is family trauma. So you can see if a parent gets sick from community trauma, COVID, how it affects the family. Or they lose their job, and now in their family, you're worried about your income. Do you have enough to pay your bills? Are you going to lose your home? Are kids growing up in neighborhoods they perceive to be dangerous? They're afraid to walk to school. Under family trauma, it could also be a parent's incarcerated. Or our military families, I know in the U.S. our families have to move every 2 to 4 years and relocate, thus putting the students in new schools all the time. So these were the kids that I worked with, anyone that came from trauma. And then there's one more, Carol, and that's if you grew up with parents with mental health issues. And that one, the two that I identify that were most difficult for children is borderline personality disorder and bipolar. And for our listeners, just to simply describe them, borderline is fast trigger anger, moodiness. They'll get upset very quickly over things that nobody else would get upset over. When they're good, they're great. When they're bad, they're horrid. And as a child, you never know what you're going to get, often leaving you walking on eggshells. And the other difficult one is bipolar, which is manic depressive. A manic phase could be a sexual addiction, going out and seeing many partners in secret. It could be a gambling spree, an eating binge, a spending spree, anything like that. Depression can come out as anger, fatigue, or emotionally checking out. So those are the top 10s based on my work of working with women with the prison system, kids in every grade level, kids in the hospital systems, couples and singles within my private practice in New Jersey and in Florida.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. Those are the 10 traumas that you might experience in childhood that block you from having healthy relationships. Can you kind of give us some examples of some of those destructive and self-sabotaging patterns that might show up in one's marriage, or if our partners are divorced, in their dating?
Sure, absolutely. This is the important part. How do these play out? So let's go through several of them. Lying and manipulation, which we know is part of every addiction, right? This is often, I'll give you an example. Let's say there's a little boy, gets an F on his test. He knows he's going to be beat if he takes that paper home. He puts it into an A and he gets away. His father doesn't beat him that day. He has to get the signature. The father thinks it's an A. So he found out early on, wow, if I lie and manipulate, I don't get hit today. I don't get punished. I don't get screamed at. So he learns to be an expert liar or manipulator. Now, kids that grow up in highly anxious homes where there's a lot of domestic violence, if they're young men, very often they will self-pleasure to help alleviate anxiety. One sign in all my clients is they have ongoing anxiety that just does not seem to go away. So this lying and manipulation becomes part of, again, the survival skill and a coping mechanism to help save them around angry, toxic parents. Okay, if you have a partner that exudes a lot of control on you, two things could be happening. They don't feel good enough, or they lack their own personal control. They perceive you, let's say it's a successful businesswoman and she married someone that does not make as much income as her. He could be controlling her. He could be making her late on purpose for meetings just to stress her out. In other words, sabotaging her to help bring her down, quote, to his level. And this is because his own self-esteem and level of where he is, he doesn't feel good enough. He doesn't feel confident. So he's controlling her so he feels more, quote, like a man, unquote. Jealousy is part of control. This is, again, usually someone that grew up with trauma number 7, not feeling good enough, not feeling worthy. They were the nerd. This is a man often that will go out and try and cheat with the youngest person possible, trying to build his own ego, his own self-esteem. If there was a man that was angry with his mother, let's say the mother was alcoholic, and he grew up really not liking her, which I term a mother hater, not a psychological term. It's just what it is. So he still never got over that. He's still angry with his mother. This is going to be a man that wants love from a woman, comes on as charming, romantic. Then as soon as he wins that woman's love, he's often controlling, derogatory. She can't be perfect enough. He has, to him, sex equals love. So he's always wanting more and more sex. It's never good enough. This again is to, have that control over the woman and have the woman always prove that she loves him. And if she says no, God forbid, he might lecture her, yell at her, make her feel bad. What's the matter with you? Blah, blah, blah. So this is someone that usually had a very difficult relationship with a toxic mom. Impulsivity is a part of sex addiction. They make risky choices that destroy often themselves, like my ex did, and also the relationship, the reputation. Like any addiction, if 5 areas of your life are impacted, it's a full addiction. There's always an excuse, well, all men watch porn, or it's not that big of a deal. Well, it is if you lose your job, your salary, your pension, your reputation, your marriage, and your kids' respect. Yeah, we have a bit of a problem. But there's such denial that that's were actually the words that came out of his mouth, right? So we will hear that a lot from someone that tries to know that it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. And they're very impulsive and do what they feel that they want to do because deep down, unconsciously, they feel that they deserve it. These are very often people that came from poor economic situations. They deserve that sports car. They deserve to hang with that cute young woman if they were bullied and called the nerd. They deserve to go out and cheat on their wife because the wife talked mean to me this morning, so I'll show her. But, you know, he'll do it in quiet. He'll do it in secret. This Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde personality is most infuriating because Dr. Jekyll, like the Broadway play, and if you didn't see this message within that show, you want to watch it again because it is a show about Dr. Jekyll being loved by society, handsome, a nice big home, you know, respected in the community, and Mr. Hyde, the hidden personality type, would go and rape and murder women at night in secret. So that's what the whole show is about, the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde personality type. It's very fascinating. And if you look into some anybody that is a sociopath, one of the top series that was out was called Dirty John, sociopathic man. And then a psychopath is a sociopath and narcissist who kills, right? So he almost tried to kill the daughter to get her away from the mother. But he would see how he charmed and manipulated her. And, you know, he came from low means. He was living in a dirty camper, and she was a successful, wonderful woman, faith-based, great mom, an architect, very successful. And he targeted her and went after her. And a sociopath is someone that uses someone for pleasure, profit, or lifestyle. So very often this addiction is around that as well, sociopathy. So there's so much that comes out there. If there's any abandonment issues, that usually leads to codependency, love addiction. It's a toxic turnaround, I call it, which is, you know, consciously it's a toxic relationship. But unconsciously, you crave the love more, and you go back to the person believing that they will change. And this, on average, occurs 7 times before the healthier partner says, I've had it.
You know, that's an interesting statistic, 7 times, because I really believe that partners have many issues that show up almost in all of them. And, you know, one is, how could this have looked so perfect and turned toxic? And another is,
right,
how could he love me and do what he's doing over there, even if they understand about compartmentalization? From a human perspective, it seems unconscionable and it seems impossible to have those two things coexist. And you and I both know that in addiction, compartmentalization has to be there to feed the addiction. So, you know, he can kiss her goodbye or hello and tell her she's beautiful and then act out 20 minutes later, 2 hours later, 2 days later, and be engaged in both worlds at the same time.
Yeah, the unconscious compulsion is stronger than the conscious awareness. And with my clients, I take them from that unconscious dark side of life to full conscious awareness. And in all trauma studies, it takes about 6 months to heal the trauma that's in the brain and the body. They're still emotionally triggered by something, the perfectionism wanting that in their partner that they're not going to ever get because no human is perfect. And, of course, they always turn around and blame everybody else. You know, it's never their fault. So there's so much to be healed, and we have to heal the inner child first and get that unconscious awareness up and full accountability. It takes about 6 months with my couples that I work with. But the good news is this can be healed. And right, Carol, everything seems perfect in the beginning. The research shows these perfect love relationships, very romantic, gifts in the beginning, lots of attention, it's a good sexual passion. By 4 months to 9 months, or the first time it becomes more serious, so that could be moving in together, getting engaged, getting married, or having a child, any kind of a commitment situation, they usually will start spiraling or acting out then, when they're being triggered or they're not feeling good enough that they can handle the new situation or that they might be found out.
You are certainly the wizard, because one of the things we know at APSATS is that for the brain to fully heal, it could take up to 5 years, but you actually see repair at month 6.
Or sooner with my clients. Now, my clients have a 150-page workbook for my research that we work with interactively. How they fill out those sheets and give them to me, tell me what I need to do with them next. It's everybody is like their own puzzle, because everyone experiences different traumas. And then I also assess the levels of trauma. For example, someone that's got beat pretty hard twice in their life, they remember it. But I say, well, how difficult was that for you on a 1 to 10? They might say, it was pretty bad. It was like a 3 or 4. That's different from the little boy that comes home who's beat every day because his father's drunk and he can't say one right thing before, without being smacked. That's a 9 or a 10. The sociopath and the psychopath come from childhood traumas of the level severity of 9 and 10, and usually have 8 to 10 traumas. Once I uncovered this and I looked at my husband's ex and how he, my ex-husband, I'm sorry, and how he grew up, he had 8 of the childhood traumas with severity levels of about 9. And when I send him my book, he goes, oh, my God, put my picture on the cover. I'm the poster child. I finally know what's the matter with me. And I said, look, you know, I'll always love you for what we had. Everything is forgiven. I finally understood what this was about. And, you know, women tend to think it's about them, right? We say, why couldn't I see this? Why couldn't I please him enough? You just can't. It's such a compulsion within them, and the secret is gives them the power. And that's what they crave most, this power and this control for their ego that they did not have as a child growing up.
Okay,
we had an alcoholic, physically abusive father, you know, and a docile mother who didn't, you know, stick up for her. So all these dynamics that went interplayed made total sense. And like I said, you can't heal what you don't understand. So once I got that, I'm like, oh, my God, this is earth-shattering. And I'm working as fast as I can to get the message out to the world because it's so important, you know.
Well, yeah. So now let's talk a little bit about what you're offering. You know, you said that you're writing, you've written 7 books. You got one that's coming out on childhood trauma. And you just talked about, how many pages? 157-page workbook?
My workbooks are for my coaching clients. They're not publicly produced. They're for my coaching clients. Yeah, my Love Beyond Your Dreams book is
with you.
Love Beyond Your Dreams is 400 pages. So there's a lot in there, and there's definitely a very heavy section on sex addiction in here. In my book, so that might be helpful. To find me or work with me, my website is my name, RhiannaMilne.com, and there is a free ebook there on the childhood traumas. It's 32 pages. It'll go in a lot deeper into this topic and give you the checklist again. I have 60 pages free downloadables of both Live and Love Beyond Your Dreams and the 4 love tests. One of them is the childhood trauma test, but there's also the red flag checklist for your partner, for singles. You know, are you ready for a relationship? So you want to check those out. And then my podcast, I have 106 shows out there, and it's called Lessons in Life and Love with Coach Rhianna Milne. And my YouTube channel, I think I have 250 educational videos and audios on there now.
Wow. And so you actually have been kind enough to talk about some free gifts for our listeners. I imagine they need to go to your website, Ryan.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And again, let me remind them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to spell it for them. That's www.rianamilne.com. And that's where they'll find those free downloads and the love tests and the ebook and all the wealth
and the free chapters. Yes. And then there's a link to my podcast or and all my shows and summits that I do, my interviews. Coach Rianna Milne on Facebook is where you can see the list of all my events.
All right. So now I'm going to ask you for a summary because we have to end.
Okay.
I am just wondering if you had one message to share with betrayed partners who are trying to work it out with the men they loved.
If you have tried therapy and it's not working, get a life coach that specializes in trauma. This, you've been traumatized as the partner. They are definitely need to deal with their childhood trauma piece that, you know, I've been told over and over and over again, my therapist never hit on this. It's a specialized area, and it's so important that you get to the root of the issue so the problems can be solved within each one of you, and the new communication skills that address the emotional triggers can be taught to you. You know, plan to invest the time and the energy, but it's worth it. You know, you really can heal from this. There is life beyond this. But, you know, if your partner is repeating over and over and over again, they say they're going to change and they have not, and they don't want to get help, you start. You start the coaching. It will be amazing. You will either be so empowered that you would never want to be with a partner like this again, or they're going to see that you're serious and you're about to leave the relationship. And then that's when very often I get the men come into coaching, because very often they're still in blaming behavior and they don't think they need anything. So if you empower yourself and change that dynamic, then they will see you're very serious. And that's usually when the men come in the door. So,
all right.
And I do this with people around the world. So, yes, but, you know, it is time to create that life you desire and have the love you deserve. Don't wait. Don't settle. You know, if COVID has taught us anything, life is short and you really need to have a happy, wonderful, emotionally healthy relationship that you love and are proud of.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. And then I was going to say, for our single women that have already divorced or they're therapeutically separated and not planning on building their relationships, would your advice be the same, to start taking care of themselves, working on themselves? If a counselor hasn't helped, go to a coach that has trauma background.
Yes, it's very important before the single goes out there to date, because they have been traumatized. We need to heal the trauma in your brain and body first. So the first thing is self-love and a ton of education. You want to be very empowered and feel like the whole package by the time you go out there to date. I teach my clients the top 24 questions to ask a partner and date one or two. You will know if that childhood trauma is still toxic or if it's healed.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to know the warning signs. It's going to be very evident. And, you know, your self-empowerment and confidence and being who you want to attract in your life. So, in other words, you don't want to take any past anger or lack of confidence out there to dating world. It's competitive enough. You want to feel amazing about yourself, your life in total, and then you add somebody to your life. So if you still have healing to do, work on you first. You're worth it. You deserve it. You've been through hell. I get it. So take the time you need for that self-love and education to become confident, raise your self-esteem, be empowered, and know the exact dating skills you need to attract someone next time who's emotionally healthy.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for all that wisdom. And You give people hope, and I can't wait to go to your website and take a look at all that you have to offer. I hope everybody else does too. Rihanna, it's been a pleasure talking with you today.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you so much for having me, and I hope I could make a difference in somebody's life today. I'm here to help you. My mission is to help change the way the world loves. So, Carol, thank you for helping me bring this message to the world and for people, even if you're not suffering, if you know someone else that's suffering from unhealed trauma, share the message. Let them know that there is help and healing for this, and I appreciate that.
Thanks, Rihanna. Make it a good week.
Thank you so much. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. And so as you can see, she has some very interesting theories, and they're a little bit different than Apsat's. And at the same time, you know, when I got my coaching degree, they told us you can only work with people that are healthy, emotionally healthy, and want to get better. They want to reach their potential. They want to do more in their life. And now we're finding as coaches that you can have niches like trauma or childhood trauma or, you know, even disorders like bipolar disorder. And as a coach, you can really specialize in that and help a lot of people. Well, I'm Carol the Coach, a.k.a. Carol Jurgensen Sheets, and I appreciate getting to spend some time with you today. And as I say at the end of every show, there will only be one of you at all times, so fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. Make it a good one.
For more information, go to APSATS.org, the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, to find a professional in your area who is trained to help you after sexual betrayal.